the whole year. So the next several months, it was crazy. I started giving, and I still made it. At the end of the week, at the end of the month, I actually was still making it. Yet I was giving, and I was still making it. So here I'm giving and living on 90%, and the strangest things happen. I'm actually doing better. And I thought, man, that's a miracle. That is just a miracle. And then some more miracles started happening. That probably about 6 months later, I had some issues with my car, and I had to get my car fixed. That was that old Mustang, Jim. Remember that? Hunk-a-junk, right? But it was my car. And somebody offered to pay for me to have my car fixed. I was like, whoa, that's pretty crazy, all right? And things like that happened to me the entire year. The entire year, I watched God just do crazy givings into my life, all right? And I was like, whoa, isn't that amazing when you obey what God starts putting in your heart? When God puts something in your heart, you know, you don't always have to understand the whole shabam, but he's putting something in your heart and you just obey him. And that's really because I didn't have a whole lot of knowledge, but I started obeying him. So I want to welcome you to our series called Seeds. Last week we talked about heart seeds. Guess what we're talking about this week? Financial seeds. Okay, financial seeds. Now, if this bugs you, you've got a problem with God. Okay? It's not me. Because I'm just going to dish out some scriptures to you. But, you know, some people say, oh, you know, they have a problem with this money thing. Well, you have a problem with God. You go take it up with God. I'm just going to be obedient today just to give you some information. Okay? So, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. To be really honest, some of you are thinking, Pastor D, this is impossible. This is impossible to be giving and talk about money. And I really just want to tell you, this whole message is about you becoming generous. Take the word money off of there. And all I want you to do is to understand that God is wanting you to be generous. Everybody say generous. Generous, 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 okay? And you may start at the tithe in where you're going to be generous, and other you may just start over here just being generous, but the whole message is about being generous, okay? And yes, we are talking about money. Praise the Lord. Everything, money. Money, 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 money. Okay. Hallelujah. And if you don't like money, please give me all your money. Okay? Just give it to me. I love it. Okay. Would you open up to Mark chapter 4? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you that you are concerned about our lives and you are concerned about where what we do in our lives. And you're always after us, and you're always after to help us higher. So I thank you, Father, for the word today that it will go into our hearts, that we'll have an understanding, and we will walk to the higher places and the great plans that you have for us through a revelation of your word today in Jesus' name. All righty, y'all at Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. It says, the king, this is Jesus talking, and he's giving an illustration, and he says, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seeds on the ground. The kingdom of God is like a farmer, and he scatters seeds on the ground. So we got a farmer, and his whole job is to get seeds in the ground. Not a hard job description, right? The farmer has to get seeds in the ground. And later on, as you read the rest of those scriptures, which we did last week, it says the farmer really doesn't understand how this thing all happens, but he knows he's going to get seed into the ground. And Jesus is saying, this is the way my kingdom works. This is how I work. And if you're a child of God, you now are part of the kingdom of God. So you need to know how God works. And he says, this is how I work. So the kingdom of God, this is how it works. It says it's like a farmer. A farmer sows seeds and things happen. Amen. So last week we talked about heart seeds. And we said that if you plant things in your heart, like plant seeds in your heart, they're going to produce. So this week we're talking about financial seeds and how they're going to produce, all right? Now, if you walk out my back deck, Mr. Stump owns the back 40, and it's beautiful. And in the springtime, he'll plow that under. He'll plow that ground, and you just got brown dirt as far as you can see. And then he puts his nice little rows in there. And what's going on is the farmer has decided to plow the fields so he can have a harvest. Okay, that's Mr. Stump's dairy, they're going to go plow so they can have a harvest. And so this farmer, if he wants to have a harvest of corn, guess what he's got to put in the ground? Corn seeds. If he wants to have a harvest of beets, I like beets, he's going to put those beet seeds in the ground. All right. So this farmer decided if he's going to have a harvest, he's got to put seeds in the ground. Now, God has given you this incredible opportunity to plant seeds in your life so you can have a harvest. Isn't that wonderful? God has given you this incredible ability that you can plant seeds and you can have a harvest going on. Now, you get to decide what kind of seeds. You want to plant corn, you want to plant beets, you want to plant, we'll talk about the other things. You get to decide what kind of seeds you're going to put in the ground. Okay? And then you can have a harvest. And actually what this is all about is when you do this, you then get God to have an opportunity to put blessings in your life. When you plant seeds, you're giving God the opportunity to get blessings into your life. Put your hands up and say, bless me, bless me, bless me. Okay? I love to. All right. So, now, what I don't want you to get out of this series is I got to do so I can get. I got to do so I can get. Listen, that's just getting goofy in the head, all right? Can I tell you something? Whether you are a generous person in sowing in your finances or you're not, good, everything stuffed in my pocket, God loves you. I love you. It's no matter to him. Doesn't bother him that you're not generous in your giving, okay? And there's no condemnation. But seeds is all about God getting an opportunity to put more blessings in your life above your ability. Seeds is all about God. You should write that down. That's a good one for the refrigerator, okay? Seeds is all about God having an opportunity to put blessings into your life above what you can do, all right? Praise the Lord. Now, write this down. I think I wrote it down for you. The main idea. It's on your sheet, okay? The main idea. Read that with me. Generosity begets generosity, okay? The Bible actually teaches this. The Bible teaches generosity will make more generosity. Generosity begets generosity, okay? Now, the first thing we're going to talk about is the first generosity. The first generosity is generous to God, okay? Write that down. Our first one is generous to God. So how do you become generous to God? How do you become generous to God? Okay. All right, now I'm going to give you two ways. There's actually a lot more, but I'm going to talk about these two main ones. One way you can be generous to God, and Miss Lucy just did an awesome job sharing this scripture, is to sow into your local church. By the way, you're sitting in this chair. This is your local church, okay? This is a local church. This is one of many. But one way that you can be generous to God is to sow into a local church. So now, I did not invent churches. Pastors didn't invent church. God created church. God instituted church. All right. Now, why would he do that? Why would God create this thing called church where people gather? Well, that's the first reason. So people can connect. Last night at open mic night, I got to talk to different people and connect with people. I just had a great old time. Okay. My grow group through this church is a great way that I get to connect with people that I would normally not have dinner with and open up my Bible with. It's just, so that's a part of church, all right? The other reason why God instituted church is so we can win our cities. Yeah, York City needs some winning, baby, right? Yeah, West York, where I live, needs some winning, all right? Church is also a place where Christians grow. Christians grow there. Anybody have been growing in the last couple of years? Some of you, I know your story. You're growing, girl. You're growing, guy. I love it. All right. Church is also another way where we can walk our purpose out. We can walk the purposes that God has in our life out. So church is an avenue that you can walk out those purposes. And it's really kind of incredible, and God created church. God created church. Now, it didn't take me long to find out after we started pastoring some 30 years ago that people leave churches. Actually getting hot. Can you believe it? Anybody need my jacket? Got an extra one going here. Praise the Lord. People leave churches. And then probably about 5 years into it, I figured out, Jack, people are leaving our church. It was just amazing. So we would get on the phone and we'd call them and say, hey, how's everything going? And they go, they give us da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I won't tell you what they said. And then what we say is, well, okay, no problem. I hope you're in another church. I hope you're in another church. Maybe this isn't your fit, okay? But I hope you're in another church. And you know what? People would say to us all the time, well, I don't go to church anymore. I was like, what? Well, Pastor, we don't need church anymore. You know, I don't need church to be a Christian. There's a little bit of truth in that, but there's a whole lot that's not. So, it used to really frustrate me. First, I'd take it personally, and then I got over that, and I went into the mad stage. I was really frustrated and all that stuff. And I was like, God, you know, if church isn't about you, I quit. I got more things to do in my life. You know, I went kind of crazy like that. And the Lord said, hang on, Dee. I instituted church. All right. So, and back then, I really didn't know what to say. I'm a little bit smarter now. Good thing I know a little bit more. So I didn't know what to say back then. And I started looking and, you know, I understand church. Church is where we connect. Church is where we grow. Church is where people hold you up in hard times and walk you through so you finish well. Church is where we get to connect and we go reach other people who don't know Jesus. That's what church is all about. So praise the Lord for the people that say, you know, I just don't go to church anymore. Praise the Lord. You go pray for them. Bring them. All right. But getting back to this, ways you can be generous to God is giving to your local church. And I just gave you about 7 good reasons why we have local church. And I probably could tell you a whole bunch more, but I got some more things to say. So church is a good way to be generous to God. Second way you can be generous to God is giving to the poor. Giving to the poor. The Bible calls that alms or giving to the poor. And you know, the amazing thing the Bible teaches that when you give to the poor, you are actually making a loan to God. And he said, I'll repay you. It's in the Bible. It's in Proverbs 19:17. You don't have to look at it. I'm just going to Proverbs 19:17. If you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord and he will repay you. Now, how many of you believe if God said, hey, can I have $20? And you gave God $20. How many of you believe that God's kind of trustworthy, that he'd pay you back? He will. Okay, I actually believe that. Now, I want to say this again. I'm going to say it again. We don't give to the poor so we can get. We don't give to God so we can get. But listen, it says, if you give to the poor, you're actually loaning to God and he will repay you. High five, God. Woo-hoo-hoo. Okay? Praise the Lord. All right? Now, listen. So God will bless you. It says God will bless you. Why? Why does God do that? Because he set up this thing called seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping. So when you sow seeds, this crop actually he will repay you. Isn't that fun? Praise the Lord. So give to the poor. Amen. All right. The second thing. So it says generosity begets generosity. And the first one is generous to God. The second one is God's generous to you. First one, if you're generous to God, it makes God generous to you. Any you sitting in here? You're the you. Okay. God's generous to you. When you're generous to God, he's generous to me. Just me, not you, because none of you raised your hands. Okay? God's generous to me. Praise the Lord. Now, this is all about God causing people to show favor in your life. How about God opening doors in your life? When God's generous to you, he's opening doors of favor. How about you get the job, promotion, with the raise, And the other guy didn't get it. That's ways that God is generous to you. Okay, God's generous to you. How about, I'm going to tell you those stories later. But basically, let me say, when you are generous to God, he's generous to you. And it's just a way of God blessing you above your abilities. Above your abilities, okay? And he does it through people. God blesses you through people. He is not a counterfeiter. He is not making money at heaven and dropping it down. That would be counterfeit, okay? God uses people to bless us, all right? Praise God. You get to heaven. I'm sorry. There's no machines that make money, all right? So he uses people, all righty? Now, I was looking at this message here, and I go, God, I have all different age groups, different types of people, people, y'all, at different stages in your spiritual walk. Lord, how do I help people understand generosity begets generosity? How do I get people to understand this? And the Lord gave me this, and you have it written on there. It's called income ceiling. You see that? Income ceiling. Now, everyone in this room has an income ceiling. Okay, in case you don't understand my Jersey accent, that thing's called a ceiling, all right? All right? Everyone, you have an income ceiling, and I have an income ceiling, all right? Now, I'm going to give you five factors that determine how high you go on your income ceiling. Does everybody know what income is? You can give to me, and that's called income, okay? Income, all right? Just check in. Hey, does it feel like it's getting hot in here? Shoot, you should be walking around up here preaching the gospel. Man, it just fire goes through your bones. Praise the Lord. Man, I'm getting hot again. Praise the Lord. All right. Number one, five factors in income ceiling. Number one, gifts and ability. God has given everybody gifts and abilities. God has given everybody different gifts and different abilities, right? Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to use myself as an example. Pretty much every Sunday and Monday, between Sunday and Monday, I will go home, turn on my laptop, and I will listen to two, sometimes three ministers. I go to church. I tell everybody, I go to church Sunday night and Monday. All right? So I will listen to different ministers. And these guys that I listen to, and the reason why I listen to them is I feed off of them. And one of the pastors has a $20,000 member church. Another one has a 15-member, not that numbers mean anything, and another guy has an 8,000-member church. And I will go feed, because I figured they know something. I think they know something, right? And so I'll go feed, I'll go sit and listen and study and just, you know, get that planted in my heart. But, you know, I always think afterwards, not always, but the revelation came, you know what? These guys are so gifted. They have so much talent. I bet they could run a Fortune 500 company. They're running 20,000 member church. I'm pretty sure they could run some of these big companies. Because why? God has so gifted them and so given them abilities that they do that. All right? Now, that's okay. That's okay. I like to surround my people that are more gifted than I am. But I will tell you, my goal in life is to use all the gifts and all the abilities that God has given me, all right? And ask God to help me use them too, all right? That's my goal in life. But, so giftings. Can we all agree that there are some people in life that are more gifted and more talented than you are? Yeah, all right. All righty. So, praise the Lord. So, because of that, I actually have you can have an income because of your gifting and abilities. You can hit the ceiling on your income, okay? Just because I'm just not the sharpest pencil in the box, right? All right. Second one. What's the second one say? Educational. Listen, education will bring your income ceiling higher, right? There are certain jobs, unless you have this piece of paper, they're not going to pay you, right? But. College is not for everybody. College is not for everybody. That's okay. Praise the Lord. Everybody know Bill Gates? Okay. He went to college for 1 year. I think he went to Stanford. It's one of the biggies. And dropped out. He was bored out of his gourd. He's this creative, talented type of guy. And he went to college, dropped out, and he started Microsoft. And the last time I checked, he's pretty filthy rich. He is rich, okay? So, but for most of us, we will have to get some kind of education. So don't let your kid drop out of school in eighth grade. Keep them going, all right? So that's where you can have your ceiling income, all right? What's number three? Work. Oh, yeah, baby. You work hard. Work hard. Work hard. Guess what? You're going to do better. Your boss is going to say, man, they get here early. They work hard. They're not hiding in the bathroom on their cell phone. Okay? Yeah. Okay. So, but let me say this. You can be really gifted and really educated, but if you don't have a good work ethic, you might be doing a little lower, okay? Your income might be a little lower, all right? I don't pass out money to people that are hiding in the bathroom doing Facebook, right? Praise the Lord. All right, so you get that? Number four, risk tolerance. Okay, some people, let me explain what this is. Some people are super gifted and highly educated, but they do not take any risks, all right? They're really educated, and they may be super gifted, but they are not going to walk on the water and start a business. They are not risk takers. So therefore, their ceiling might be down here. They may have all that stuff rolling through their brain, but they never take the risk. All right? But the person that's gifted and good work ethics, and they are risk takers. Now, let me say, it's not stupid stuff. Okay, this is calculated. You have done your research. I was just talking to Rod and Julie. They're praying about, Julie, look at me. They're praying about starting this business called a what? Home care. They are calculating right now. They are doing the research. Pray for them, okay? All right, they're going to take a risk over here. So praise the Lord. Okay, sorry to put you on the spot. Just praise the Lord. So love you, Pastor D. All right, last one, income ceiling, environment. Environment has to do with where you live. Okay, case in point, just imagine all of you are born in a third world country. Okay, and Jamaica really doesn't count because I know a lot worse. Go worse than that. You're born there, you're raised there, you still live there. All right, you're living in a third world country. All right, how many of you would agree because of the environment that you're living in this third world country, that you are probably not going to get paid as well as like if you lived in the United States? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay. So environment can impact us on your ceiling income. Now, all of this is without God. Okay. All of these things, scenarios I told you are without God. All of these have to do with without God. So who do we want to get in the middle of this picture? All right. Now, how many of you are my students here? You're in high school or college, all right? You actually kind of have a ceiling income because you're in school, all right? You're in school. How many of you are retired and you might be living on a fixed retirement, okay? So you kind of have a ceiling income, all right, that determines because of your environment, you're either a student or you're retired or whatever, you kind of have this ceiling of your income, right? Okay. Now, this is what I want you to see today. It doesn't matter. If you are generous to God, God will get in your life and be generous to you, and your environment and all those, you know, all those other things are no stopping God. They're no stopping God. Okay. So we can break through anything. When we get generous with God, God will get generous with us, okay? All right. So God wants us to begin to have generosity flowing through us so he gets in there. It's just bottom dollar. Okay. Now, this was several years ago. I was talking to this gentleman, and we were talking about how are things in life. I hadn't seen him in about 5 years. And he said, you know, Dee, there was a season in my life where I didn't get this generosity, and I was dirt poor. I just was not a generous person in anything, you know, whether it was church and giving in church or just people's lives. And I got a hold of this. I started to see how much God loved me and how he wanted me to plant seeds so he could be generous in my life. So I did a test. I started testing it with my business. And he says, man, within 2 years' time, my business turned around and we were doing better and better and better. And he said, this is just his testimony. He says, because I started having generosity coming in me and through me, and God started blessing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. And he started getting contracts. He says, they'd call me up for contracts. I didn't even know who they were, because this is his testimony. I started having generosity go through me, and God started pouring out blessings in him. Okay. Hey, would you all turn over to 2 Corinthians 9:6? Praise God. Aren't you glad that God can bless you above your income ceiling? Man, praise God, praise God. I've seen it. I'm still walking it. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 9:6. This is the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Pretty sharp guy. And this whole thing that he's writing about is he's going to be collecting money. This is Apostle Paul, and he's writing about collecting money, okay? 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. He's talking about giving, guys. This is about giving, all right? Now, what you have to understand is back up one chapter, chapter 8. Chapter 8, Paul has got this situation, and he comes to this church here in chapter 9, and he says, hey, I got this situation, and I need you guys to give money. I need you guys to give money. Everybody say money. Money's not a bad word, all right? And he says to them, I've seen you excel in everything. You guys are in the Corinthian church. You guys are excelling in your love. You're excelling in your knowledge. You're excelling in the way you speak and preach and gifts. You just are excelling in all of this. But I need you to excel also in being generous in giving. Being generous in giving, because he's coming to collect money. And he said, now listen, this is me, P.S. What you have learned to excel in all those other areas, you can learn in your giving. So he's talking about giving. Praise the Lord. Now, he's talking to these people, and he said, listen, if you sow into their field, I will sow and give and bless you. He's talking not about you have to, but he's saying, I need some money to help this church over here. And if you will sow, I will come in and bless you and multiply your seed. All right. That's all he's talking about. Now, so again, he's talking about being generous. All right. How many, just write down 1 Timothy, you guys, 1 Timothy. I don't think I wrote that down for you. 1 Timothy 6:17-19. So I'm thinking about this whole message about God, generosity begets generosity. If you're generous to God, God is generous for you, okay? And I'm remembering 1 Timothy over here, and this is Paul, and he's talking to rich people, okay? 1 Timothy 6:17-19, he's talking to rich people, and he tells them three things. The first thing he says, hey, rich people, don't trust your money. Okay, now that's good for everybody. Don't trust in your money, right? Don't trust in money. Who do we trust in? We trust in God, all right? Praise the Lord. Number two, he says, to the rich, he says, hey, be more generous. So that means they have to pull down deeper in their pockets and give more. So, okay, the third thing he says is, when you give, he's talking to rich people. He says, when you give, you are storing up treasures in heaven. When you give, you're storing up treasures in heaven. So I'm sitting there going, whoa, do you hear what God's saying? When you're generous, God's going to bless you while you're down here upon this earth. And when you're generous, he says, you are storing up treasures in heaven. Storing up treasures in heaven. Now, how many of you know the saying, you can't take it with you? But this scripture says, but your gifts can go ahead of you. I may not take it with me, but they're going to go ahead of me, right? Storing up treasures in heaven, okay? So how do you do this? It's by giving to the work of God. It's giving as the Lord puts on your heart, all right? So number one, if you're giving, he's going to bless you while you're down here. Anybody want to be blessed down here? Yeah, you should be Pentecostal right now. Yes, 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 okay? But I also, as I'm giving, he's got the best next. He says, then you're storing up treasures in heaven. All about because you're generous. Generosity comes through you, okay? Now, let me say this. God works with percentages. Write that down. All right. Now, I'm going to get you over to a New Testament story, but let me just throw this at you. If a wealthy person gives $1 million to YCF, I do know how many zeros go at the back of that, all right? If a wealthy person gives $1 million to YCF, but he actually, his income is $100 million, he is only given 1%. Anybody following me with the math? Just Google it. Google. How much is 1%? Okay. All right. Now, if a wealthy person gave $2,000 in the offering, $2,000, but he actually makes $20,000, all right? So that means he has given 10%. And you know what's so cool about that? God, you know that storing up treasures in heaven? God's looking at percents. He's not looking at the zeros amounts. He's not looking at the amount. He's looking at the percents. Now, New Testament story. Everybody know the widow's mite, the little old lady that put in? Okay, it's found in, I'm going to write, you can do it. Luke 21, 1 through 4, and it's also found in Mark 12, 41 to 44. Luke 21, you can look it up later, and Mark 12, okay? So Jesus teaches about this percentage. Pastor D, what are you talking about? La, hang in with me. Jesus is standing in the temple, and he's watching people go by putting money in the box. Or we would say, see those glass jars? They're putting money in. People. So Jesus is people watching. Anybody like to people watch? He's people watching. All these people go by and putting money in at the temple, at church, at the local church. He's watching them. And some of these really wealthy people, they dunk big chunks of money in. They're walking by. All of you are putting big chunks of money in. Make your checks out to YCF. Okay, they're putting big chunks of money in. And then along comes this little lady, and she comes and she puts 2 pennies in. Y'all know the story? She puts 2 pennies in. So Jesus calls his boys over, you know, and he goes, hey, guys, did you see that she gave more than everybody else? And they're like, no, she put 2 pennies in. Do you need glasses? Right? And he goes, no, she gave her all. And these guys gave big chunks of stuff they'll never even miss. Jesus is looking at percents. Actually, he's looking at heart. Everybody say heart. Man, he's looking at heart. So listen. So when you give, when you're generous, you have blessings that God's going to start pouring out through all. And it's not always money, guys. It's not always money. But he'll pour out while you're down here. And when you're a generous person down here, you're also laying up treasures up in heaven. Praise God. Now, go back to 2 Corinthians 9, 8. I think it's, let me get my. I'm getting there. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. Nope. Here we go. This is why I type them out on my book, because praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. And God will be generously provided, excuse me, and God will generously provide all you need. Does anybody have that underlined in their Bible? You ought to. Get a pen. All right, I'll read it again. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Man! Praise the Lord. Okay. So I'm about written. And God will generously provide all you need. Anybody have some needs? On the side of my refrigerator, I have a hit list. It's called the honey-do list. Okay. About every 6 months, man, that list grows. So I have some needs coming up. So this tells me, whoa, God will generously provide all your needs. Then You will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Praise the Lord. So he's saying, hey, guys, if you give, I'm going to release and make sure you have plenty. And so much plenty, you'll have plenty for others. Raise your hand if you want to be one of those others. Tell the person next door, you can give to me. I'm one of the others. Right? Praise God. Plenty left over to share with the others. Glory to God. All right. So then you'll be able to be, listen, then after you've been generous, God says, then he's going to pour into you and you're going to have plenty to be a blessing. Plenty to be a blessing. Praise the Lord. Plenty to be a blessing. All right. Now I skipped over verse seven. You can go look at it later. It's all about your attitude. It's all about your attitude of giving. It's all about, you know, God loves a cheerful giver, a joyful giver, not somebody who's, oh my gosh, they're collecting money again. That's what verse 7 is about, your attitude. And then it's written to pastors. You know what it says to pastors? Hey, you guys better not be conning people. You better not be just twisting their emotions and make them give, though they feel so bad. It's in there. Look at verse 7. I'm not going to read it for you. You can go home and do some homework, all right? And it says, you know, don't get people to be emotional in their giving, all right? So, you know what? At the end of this service, I am not taking up a special collection. Nope. But if, no. Nope. Nope. Listen, my whole purpose today is to educate you on how God has designed seeds for you to sow so he can bless you above your ceiling. All right. And my whole purpose is to toss these scriptures at you. They're good. They're Bible. They're God. Like I said, if you've got a problem with money, this is Bible. You go, okay. So my whole purpose is for you to look at this and respond to what God says. Respond to what God says. Okay. So God says, I'll bless you above what you give. Oh, I love that. So you can sow, and then he said, I'll make sure it comes back to you, and you'll be a blessing to others, all righty? Now, I want to tell one more story. Oh, we're doing good. Everybody know of Isaac? He's a guy in the Old Testament. Okay, Isaac. And the reason why I want to tell the story in Isaac, it's found in Genesis chapter 26. Write it down. Go home and read it. It's just a cool story. Isaac is, the reason why I want to talk about it is because some people are thinking, Pastor D, you don't know my circumstances. You don't know my environment. I can't. Pastor D, I was way poorer than you were in college. So I want to tell you the story of Isaac, all right? If that's what's going through your head, all right? And listen, write this down. Write this down. Listen, don't forget the God factor. But Pastor D, you don't know my environment. But Pastor D, I'm not educated. But Pastor, don't forget the God factor. Okay? And this is what happened to Isaac. It's an incredible story. Isaac is the son of Abraham. Everybody know who Abraham is? Father Abraham had many sons. Okay. Abraham's called the father of our faith. God called him out, became the father of our faith, and God just did all these things in Abraham's life so we can have this great life Christianity now, okay? So he's called our father, and Abraham's got this son named Isaac, and Abraham teaches his son generosity. He actually teaches them about tithing. They're both tithers. They're both generous guys, all right? And then later on, Abraham dies. Okay, so we just have Isaac. And Isaac is living in a specific area where they have a famine that goes on. A famine. Famine means drought. Drought means no water. Okay, no water, no plants growing, right? No plants growing, no food for your animals. No food for your animals, no food for you. Okay, it's pretty bad. It's bad. They've got this famine going on. And Isaac thought, you know what? I'm going to leave and go to Egypt because they don't got a drought going on. Sound like a good idea? Uh-huh. But God says, Isaac, I want you to stay here and I'm going to bless you. I want you to stay here and I'm going to bless you. All righty. I am in Genesis chapter 26, verse 12. Praise the Lord. So God's talked to Isaac and he says, you can't, don't go to Egypt. I want to bless you here. And it says, Isaac planted crops in the land. Isaac planted crops in the land. Verse 12, Isaac planted a garden. Okay? Isaac planted a garden. Now, can you imagine? We've got famine going on. They've had no rain for who knows how long. So he's going to go out and try to plow his field in this hard ground. All right? He's plowing his field. And then he gets out and he's going to start sowing seed. Sowing seed. Sowing seed. And you know what his neighbors are thinking? Isaac, you better eat that seed before you die. What are you doing? And Isaac's going, no, no, I am sowing seed in the ground so God can give me a harvest because God said I will bless you. So here he is. He plows this hard. I mean, I'm sure it took a lot of work because I don't know anything about gardening. Okay. And he's got his seed all over and God blesses him. God blesses him. Verse 12. And that same year, he reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. The Lord blessed him. Now, verse 13 is cool. And the man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. Isaac planted a garden, right? He planted a garden, and God blessed him. He actually was planting a garden in bad environment. Right? Famine, drought. And he's going to obey God and plant seed. Now, the reason why I shared this story to you is I want to encourage you. You got to get to the point where you go, I don't give a flying flip. What's going on in my life? I saw this promise. The kingdom of God is like a farmer that planted a seed and it grew a harvest. You got to get to that place where you go, so I am going to be generous. God, you are always generous to me, so I'm going to be generous to you. And then it's going to come back on me. Whether you're a student, listen, I worked in the cafeteria when I was in college just so I didn't starve. Yep. And then the Lord started speaking to me about these scriptures and I started giving. So I didn't starve. I still worked at the cafeteria, but it was really amazing. I still had money at the end of the week, all right? So, listen, he can work in whatever circumstances you're in, but you have to sow seed. You have to sow seed, all right? You have to do it. Listen, I've watched God do this in my life more times than I can count. I've watched him do this when we were raising kids. And I was cracking up the other day, probably a couple weeks back, I went and bought a gallon of milk. Holy moly. You know, there's only a couple of us here. I usually buy a half gallon. I was like, my gosh. And then the Lord reminded how many gallons we used to go through when my kids were little. And my God was faithful. And he's still the faithful God of whatever gallon of milk costs, three, whatever, okay? All right. Hey, listen, I want to end with one more scripture. Turn over to Luke 6:38. If you are generous to God, guys, he will be generous to you. If you are generous to God, he will be generous to you. If you plant, God is then able to be generous to you. All right? It's all God's going, I'm ready. We just plant. So when you're generous and you plant, he's ready to move in and bless you. You over at Luke 6, guys? Luke 6:38. Everybody say that first word. Give. Wow. Give and you will receive. I love it. Okay. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make more room for me, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. The amount you give determines, okay? So listen, this is how God gets blessings to your life. It's just the word of God. It's how God gets blessings into your life. Praise the Lord. Now, I remember, let me tell you some blessings into our life. Jack and I, after we got married, we just said, we're going to do it. We're jumping in and we're going to be generous with our income. We're going to sow. We're going to sow, and we're going to sow on top of it. And I watched this one time, crazy ways God would bless us. One time, you all know that Jack had a private airplane, and they had this GPS. And one day, he's a little scatterbrained sometimes. He was loading up his car, and he had a bad habit of putting things, coffee cup on top of the car while he's loading in things, right? And he left the GPS to the airplane on top of the car. And he backs out, and he gets down here, and the Lord says, blank, you dummy. So he backs up, and he realizes he ran over the GPS. Now, that's not a cheap GPS. This is a GPS for his airplane back then. And so he calls the company up, and he finally gets the right person. Press this. And he says to the gentleman says, how may I help you? And Jack says, the lady died. And the guy got it, the service helper guy, and he's roaring laughing. He says, well, how can I help you? He says, the lady died. And he said it again. He says, well, I'll tell you what. And he pulled up, he says, I see this is under warranty, but I'll send you a new one. That's just God. Because we lived a generous life. Listen, you may argue with me. You can't talk me out of it. We have lived being generous to God. And that was God, just favor of God, blessing us back. Okay? And I've told this before. Several years ago, I'm making, Jack had passed away, gone home to be with Jesus, shouting the victory and all that good stuff. And I'm going through some of our financial, how do I say this? Commitments, that's a good word, for our financial commitments. And one of them was a loan. Was it yours or Cassie's? Sherry's loan. We had taken a loan out to help Sherry in college. We would take, they had to pay a big heap, a bunch. They took a loan out, and we would help out where we could. And this was a $10,000 loan, so I'm calling the company up. I said, hey, listen, Jack's no longer here. You have to take his name off and put my name off so I can finish paying it. We still owe $10,000. And the man said, well, Jack's not here. I said, yeah, I know that. I just told you that. He passed away. He says, well, then canceled. The loan was in the person. Person moved on. And I'm arguing with this man saying, listen, I am a person of integrity. Jack, even though his name was here, we said we would pay this. He goes, name gone. All right. Listen. And I'm sitting there going, thank you, Jesus. And I don't know what the guy was doing. All right. Listen, favor that he's poured out, jobs, promotions. Anybody have ever gotten jobs and promotions where you're going, man, oh day, that was the Lord. How about this one? I'm really not a shopper. You know that women gene that they love to shop? I'm not. I got more guy than girls, all right? I want to get it out, and better yet. So when my kids are little, I have four kids. You have to shop for them. And then taking four kids, they stand in, the center rack with the clothes. They go hide in there. The thing would fall over. It's just a disaster. I hated to shop. I still hate to shop. So I went shopping. I bought this. I bought one in each color, two colors, so I would be done with it. Okay? So, but listen, God would just pour out his blessings, and people would give us bags of clothes for my kids. They were hand-me-down clothes. And these were people that shopped at the big expensive stores. And I would go, God, thank you. Thank you for your blessings in my house. One, I don't have to shop. Two, you bought them better than what I was going to buy them. Okay, I thank God for that. All right, other things. You'll laugh. Just silly things. Silly things that you think are silly, but I always thank God. I was going over to Eastern Market, and I wanted to buy, because some of my kids were coming in town, and I wanted to buy the expensive pickles. Normally, I just buy the cheap pickles, but because one of my kids was coming home, and, Mama just wants to treat them and bless them, so I went to buy the homemade pickles at the pickle stand, and it's about 20 minutes before the close of the store, and the guy says, oh, you can have them for 50 cents. Because it was the end of the day. The pickle didn't go bad at the end of the day. They just didn't want to take it. So it was supposed to be $10 worth of pickles. I bought it. I got it for 50 cents. And I'm going, Father God, thank you for blessing me. Your favor. All right. I see all that God does in my life. All right. And I just give him thanks and glory. But I want to tell you, I love being generous, and he just loves being generous back to me. I have a dear friend that's a runner. And we were talking about being generous to God, and God's generous to you. And she told me that about a month or so ago, someone called them up and they had a brand new pair, $150 for a pair of running shoes. And that's probably inexpensive. Somebody gave her two pairs of brand new running shoes. And she's doing the woohoo dance. God, you're faithful. You bless me. All right. All right. So I'm just telling you a quick little stories, but listen, there are all different ways that God gets his blessings back into your life, but you have to sow seed so he can have, so you can have a harvest. That's just really simple. So I want to challenge you. And guys, this is between you and me. This is between, no, not you and me. Sorry. It's between you and God. Sorry about that. It's between me and God over here, but it's you and God. Okay, this is just between you. And wherever you are generous at, I just want to challenge you is you'd ask God, could you take it up a step? Could you take it up a step? All right. And listen, I look in this congregation, there's so many of you that already have a generosity lifestyle, just a lifestyle of it. It's just crazy wonderful. But some of you, maybe you say, well, Pastor D, you know, I just kind of throw money in. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. And this is my challenge. Could you be a start? Could you start throwing seed, being generous, just at any level, okay? Be consistent, just be, start regularly, all right? So let's say that maybe you've been consistent at throwing in 3% of your income. I just challenge you. How about this year? Because we're wrapping up a year. Or how about next year? I'll give you I'll let you do your Christmas shopping now. But how about next year, you up it to 5%? Just say, God, I'm gonna take a step. I'm going to up it to 5%. And maybe you're at 5%. How about you take it up to 7%, all right? But listen, wherever you're at, it's between you and God. Just say, God, I want to be more generous. I want to be more generous. Oh, you want to be more generous than God? I want to be more generous, all right? Just say that. God, I want to be more generous. And I just ask you to take the challenge and say, God, I want to be more. I want to be more. So let's pray. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, one more scripture. Did I write it down? Ecclesiastes 11:4. This is a good one. Ecclesiastes. Praise the Lord. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 4. Now, let me say this. Let me read it to you. It says, farmers who wait for perfect weather or conditions never plant. He's talking about those farmers again. All right, farmers.com. Ready? Here we go. So you know what he's saying? Listen, if you wait, so I'm going to read this again. Farmers who wait for perfect weather or conditions or environment, perfect weather, never plant. By the way, Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4 are all about giving, guys. It's all about giving, all right? This is continuation. But he's saying, if you are waiting for all the stars to line up in a perfect row till you start giving, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If you're waiting for all of these things to get all in a perfect row, he's saying it's not going to happen. You just need to take a step and just start here. You know, listen, if you want to know what to give up here, just talk to me. But just start here. Just start here. If you're a student, just start with whatever income you have. If you're on a fixed income, just start with whatever you have. Be consistent. Be faithful. Do you know God's faithful to the faithful? Praise the Lord. And just take that step. And I'm telling you, watch. In 1 year's time, you come back up and say, Pastor D, I did it. I took the challenge. I decided I was going to do blankety blank blank. And I watched God do this, 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 this. You come back to me in 1 year and you will have some stories to tell. I'll give you the microphone. You can have the whole service. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, bow your heads. Close your eyes. Just start sowing seed. Father God, we thank you for this truth. We thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for all the many generous people that you have brought here to YCF. I am so thankful for them. I thank you, Father, for all the people that this is new. This is the first time they're hearing it. And I thank you, Father, that this isn't about money. Guys, this isn't about money. This is about that you love us and you are looking for ways to pour into our life. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Father, for the seed time and harvest. We thank you that we have many opportunities to sow seed and you get to be our Father who blesses us more than we can imagine. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. praise the Lord. I just want to give you, just everybody really quiet, Newman. Have a God moment. I want you just to get quiet and let the Lord speak to you. Let God talk to you about, you know, what's in your heart concerning being generous. Just, you know, have this conversation with God, and I'm going to be quiet. Just let him talk to you. Say, Lord, you know, I get it. But you know, Lord, and he's gone, I know more than you know. Just let him talk to you about, hallelujah. Maybe he's talking to you about to be generous here at YCF, or generous to other ministries, generous to the poor. Praise the Lord. Just let him talk to you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts through your word, through right now. And I thank you, Father, that we're going to grow. Grow, Father, grow. We don't want to stay the way we were. Father, we want to grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, if you're here, everybody's just staying in prayer here. If you're here and not quite sure where eternity is, you're not quite sure if you're going to make it into heaven. But, you know, I've talked a lot about God and his love and his blessings. And I just want to give you an opportunity that if you're here and you if you would like to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, if you believe in me, I'll give you eternal life. You'll be a part of my family. I'll make you one of my children forever. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And guys, this isn't about joining YCF. This isn't about if you grew up in a Christian home. This isn't about if you were baptized as a baby. This is about, have you ever made a commitment? Have you ever said, God, I'm 100% in with you. God, I'm 100% in with you. And if you can't remember a time where you prayed and asked Jesus to be in your life, and give him your life to let him lead and just direct and take good care of you. If you can't remember a time that you prayed that and you say, you know what, Pastor D, I'm ready to ask Jesus into my life. I'm ready to be a part of this family of God. I'm ready to have eternity and know that where eternity leads me. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor D, would you pray for me? I am ready. Would you just raise your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come up, but I'll pray with you. Is there anybody here who would say, yeah, Pastor D, would you pray with me? I would like Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I would like to just give him everything. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor D, would you pray with me? Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Okay, well, that means we're family. You're all the family of God. And you know, family just loves. All right, so go and hang out, talk to one another. We have some hot coffee and hot water back there, so if you need to warm up. Praise the Lord. Father God, I thank you for your people. They are blessed coming in, and they are certainly blessed going out. I thank you, Father, that everything they put their hands to, they prosper in. And I thank you, Father, they are lights in the places you've called them to be. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, have fun this week. Praise the Lord. We love you. Praise God. Youth tonight, 6:30. Praise God.